Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Palestinian terrorism is alive and well. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Well, usually on this podcast, I talk about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and that kind of terrorism. Today, I'm going to be talking about Palestinian terrorism, which is indeed alive and well, as we have just recently seen by the stabbing murder of Ari Fold, who is who was an American Israeli. He was recently, just before the Jewish high holidays, he was murdered in, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about him. He describes himself on Twitter as a marketer and a social media consultant. Quote, when not defending Israel by exposing the lies and strengthening the truth. He was stabbed by a Palestinian terrorist at a shopping mall in Gush Etzion, a settlement south of Jerusalem. He was born in Queens, which is where I was raised. He's a father of four. He died from his wounds, but not before he chased down his assailant and stopped him from stabbing any other people. He was only 45 years old. Now, he was very dedicated to Israel. He was a Zionist, essentially. I've watched some of his, after he died, I hadn't heard of him before, but after he died, I did research about him on the internet, and I came across some videos that he made. And yes, he was absolutely dedicated not only to Israel in general, but he was dedicated to the concept that these settlements, the area that the settlements are on, the Israeli settlements, belong to Israel. And needless to say, that would be something that would enrage the Palestinians. He lived in one of the settlements, but he actually, it's said that he was respected by people from all different from all sides, obviously within limits. I mean, I'm sure there were lots of people who were felt strongly about the other side and didn't respect him, wanted him to die, basically, and that's kind of what happened. So he was standing in the parking lot of this shopping center, this shopping mall, and he was stabbed in the back by this terrorist, and he was bleeding, profusely bleeding, but he ran after the terrorist, and he shot him. He carried a gun and he shot him. And there was another civilian nearby who also shot the terrorist. Then the terrorist collapsed. Fold collapsed also. But he was trying to prevent a larger attack by the terrorist. He was taken to a hospital called Shar Zedek in Jerusalem. He was in critical condition, and then after about an hour, he was pronounced dead. Meanwhile, the terrorist was also taken to a hospital, and he is still alive. Now, at the time of this incident, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrote on social media, "In the name of every citizen of Israel, I send my condolences to the family of Ari Fold, who was murdered today in a terrorist attack in Gush Etzion. With his last strength, Ari fought heroically against the terrorist and prevented a greater tragedy. Ari was a wonderful father to four children. He was an advocate for Israel who fought to spread the truth about Israel. May his memory be a blessing. Yes, in the video that I saw, he was definitely very passionate about what he believed. And, you know, certainly I could see why that would have inflamed people who didn't believe the same way. But you could also see in this video that he was a very sincere man, a very a good man. I mean, someone who wasn't doing or saying what he was saying just to be, like a strong political. It wasn't so much political as it was love that he came from. He was a well-known, so he had both citizenship in Israel and in the U.S. He lived in Efrat, which is a settlement, and he was a well-known figure and in the pro-Israel advocacy world and a member of Efrat's counterterrorism rapid response team, which is undoubtedly why he was carrying a gun. He was also planning, when people are cut down, when they're in the midst of having these passionate plans, reaching their dreams, it's particularly sad. He was supposed to have launched a new website in English to talk about these things that he believes in. And he was also planning on coming to doing a tour of the United States in November to talk about, again, what he believed in and trying to get people to understand what this was all about. After this, the Israeli military carried out house-to-house searches in the terrorist village, which was near Hebron. And they questioned his relatives, they confiscated work permits, and his home is being mapped for demolition, which is what Israel, it's controversial to some, but it's a practice that Israel does in order to deter potential attackers. Now, at the same time that Israel is confiscating work permits and demolishing homes of terrorists, the Palestinians are giving money to these terrorists. And I'm going to be talking to you more about that. There was a blog post written by one of his friends. It's called Mourning the Murder of My Friend, Ari Fold. It's a very, very touching blog post. And particularly the end of it is very poignant, so I'll read it to you. As I type this, and as you read this, the 17-year-old Palestinian who stabbed Ari is being treated in an Israeli hospital by a doctor who was Ari's friend. That's an irony. The terrorist will have a trial and be put in jail. He will be fed 3 meals a day. He will read, watch TV, and as a reward for murdering Ari, he and his family will be paid a monthly stipend by the Palestinian Authority, funded courtesy of the UK government and other EU states. His family will visit him, and maybe one day he will be released as part of a peace deal or prisoner exchange. Ari's family will never see him again, other than by watching numerous videos he made in support of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Fund, advocating for Israel, or his final act, shooting a terrorist even when mortally wounded. He believed with all his body and soul that Israel was the land of the Jewish people. If nothing, and she ends the blog post with, if nothing else, we should take this message with us and work to see the humanity, the godly in every human being, even when we vehemently disagree. Well, when we come back, I will be talking more about Ari and also about the financial aspect of this, because it really, the story is not just about the murder of one man by a Palestinian authority, a Palestinian terrorist. By the way, his name was Khalil Yousef Ali Jabarin. But it's also, there's also a, if you follow the financial trail behind this, it also has more significance. And now, aside from this being a devastating loss, he was considered an Israeli hero. I relate to this in particular since I grew up in Queens. And he came from Queens. His love of Israel was so strong that he went there to help the world, basically, understand Israel's point of view, understand what the settlements were all about. He lived in a settlement, and people who live in the settlements are risking their life every day because of the Palestinian terrorists. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting is that the murderer was a 17-year-old from a nearby village, and there are reports that his parents supposedly attempted to warn both Israeli soldiers and the Palestinian Authority security that their son wanted to perpetrate an attack. But this is, you know how that's even with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and so on. I've talked about how the families always say how shocked they are and, you know, that so-and-so turned out to be a terrorist, and whether it's a Palestinian terrorist or an ISIS terrorist, they, of course, defend their relative, although sometimes actually it goes the other way, that they're proud. And in fact, even though the family is saying that they tried to warn both Israel and the Palestinian Authority, Hamas celebrated the murder. They said, their spokesperson said, "We welcome the stabbing attack." Islamic Jihad praised the, quote, heroic stabbing. They called it a, quote, natural response to Jewish terror, aggression, and its crimes against Arabs, the land, and our holy places. And they requested more attacks on settlers. They called for more attacks. The Palestinian Authority welcomed the attack. Now, here's where it gets interesting in terms of the financial aspect. And again, there are, you know, of course, the Palestinian Authority is somewhat disputing that the family of the terrorist murderer received money already, but they're not disputing that he's going to be receiving money. So Jabarin, the murderer, his family has received $3,350 from the Palestinian Authority. And if he receives a life sentence, that number will increase to 1.7 million. Now that's an interesting thing. Can you imagine your son or brother or some kind of relative kill somebody, and you're hoping that they get a life sentence because then you're going to get $1.7 million. I don't know that they're hoping for that. I'm just saying that it's it would be a psychological conundrum. But they do receive money, as I'll tell you in a bit. They do receive money for terrorists, receive money. Terrorists who are caught and are in Israeli jails receive monthly stipends. So they're going to be receiving money, you know, besides the lump sum that they receive now, they're going to be receiving money as he is in an Israeli jail. So now there has been in the U.S. Certain politicians have told American taxpayers that we should keep signing checks to the Palestinian governmental groups in order for them to not be violent. And they're saying that terrorism was driven by poverty and despair, and so if we pay the Palestinians, then terrorism will go away. Well, you know, yes, of course. I agree that that violent, that poverty and despair does make people more vulnerable to the terrorist ideology, but in and of itself, it is not responsible for terrorism. And the idea that we can pay people to not be violent is pretty absurd and has been shown to be absurd over the years. So now, Obama was one of the people who tried to, whose philosophies and whose, you know, his time in office continued this trend of paying Palestinians. You know, this theory that that's how we can stop terrorism against Israel. We'll just pay the Palestinians to stop. And obviously, you know, all these years later, no, it has not stopped. And he wrote in his book, Obama did, Dreams for My Father, he said, quote, "I know, I have seen the desperation and disorder of the powerless, how it twists the lives of children on the streets of Jakarta or Nairobi, how easily they slip into violence and despair." Well, that's true. You know, that part is true, but that is not what is... that's not what made this murderer kill Ari Fault, whether he was poor or not. In fact, there have been studies that show that starting in the late 1990s and on into this part of the 21st century, there have been studies that show that terrorists are coming from a wider demographic range. And they include, they're not just the poor people. It includes university students, professionals, married men in their late 40s, and even young women. There was a 2001 poll that showed that among Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, support for political violence was higher among professionals than laborers, and more common among people with high school educations than among the illiterate. So throwing money at the problem of terrorism, at least in Palestine and probably all over, actually exacerbates it because they have more money to be able to perpetrate terror. So signing checks to terrorist regimes means funneling more cash to terrorists. And that can be said to be true. It is true of the government of Iran, the Palestinian Authority, Hamas, Hezbollah, or any of the other terrorist groups who are out to destroy the West and Israel. So what exactly does that mean? What have we been doing in terms of paying? First of all, it's called pay for slay. That is, it's the Palestinian death cult. Pay for slay. That's, you know, when the Palestinian Authority has the practice of paying terrorists to kill Israelis, that is essentially been called the pay for slay program. And they pay these families, they call it a martyrs fund. And even though this particular martyr hasn't died, this current murderer, he still will be getting this money. And then they get a monthly salary of $390 while the son is in jail, in Israeli jail. And in 2017, the Palestinian Authority paid out nearly $350 million to these terrorists who have been perpetrating terror in Israel. Now, fortunately, this current regime in the United States, this current president and Congress have been trying to put a stop to this flow of money from American taxpayers into terrorist hands via the Palestinian Authority. I mean, I'm not under a rock, and I do realize, I mean, the UN is a great example of the anti-Semitism and anti-Israel feelings that are going on around the world. It's not that that's a shock. It's just that, actually, as I'm going to conclude today with, what is kind of a shock is how much of that is going on in our own colleges in America. But I digress. Let me get back to the money. Okay, at least there is hope. there are some positive things to report here. And that is that President Trump and Congress have been doing some things to stem the tide of our taxpayer money to the Palestinians, which then goes to fund the terrorists against Israel. So there was enacted something called the Taylor Force Act. It was named for another U.S. citizen who was killed by Palestinian terror. And that act has stopped the flow of American taxpayer money to the Palestinian Authority's civilian programs. So at least we can, you know, we can feel that we are not underwriting the Palestinian Authority slush fund as much that pays these stipends that I was just talking about to terrorists, Palestinian terrorists who are their family members if they're dead and imprisoned or injured, like the one who murdered Ari Folt. So Washington was spending $200 million. Actually Washington was spending more, but $200 million was the amount of Palestinian Authority aid funding that President Trump slashed last month. So, we saved, I mean, you know, obviously that's not, that presumably isn't all of it, but at least it's a beginning. It took the money away from an agency that financially induced Palestinians to murder Israelis. And the budget, I mean, that's 200,000, $200 million, which is definitely a big dent in their budget. But the Palestinian Authority's pay to slave budget ranges from $50 million to $350 million annually. So if we, any amount of that bill that we pay with American taxpayer money is basically paying terrorists to kill Americans. And as I was talking about earlier, you know, that is not... the idea of paying Palestinians to make them not commit terrorism, it doesn't work. Now, before I talk about some things going on in America, besides the fact that we have been paying all this money, funding the Palestinian Authority terrorists, there's something else that I am actually shocked about that I'll talk to you about, but I just want to, I want to mention one other thing about this murder of Ari Folt. And I would suggest that you Google him and try to find some of his clips, as I did, his videos, about his beliefs. Now, you certainly may not agree with him, but you certainly can see how heartfelt what he was saying was. That it didn't come from rhetoric, you know. And he was obviously a very smart, learned man. He wasn't just talking from heart. He knew what he was talking about. He was very smart. He has devoted his life to this. So he studied the whole history of Zionism. I mean, that is the problem, folks. People are not people don't, for the most part, like if you go to a college campus, as I'm about to talk about, and you ask people about the history of Israel, and the history of Palestine, and the history of these Palestinian terrorists, you know, you will see that in fact, these lands, well, I'm not going to get into that's a subject for a whole other thing. But I mean, you know, Israel is not just trying to increase itself willy-nilly. Historically, these lands really do belong to Israel. And that was what Ari Fold and other people try to teach. But it's a very, to be honest, it's a very long and complicated history. And the patience of the American psyche, attention span, is 5 seconds. So no one wants to sit there to listen to what happened in this, you know, in 1967 or before that, or, you know, going back centuries even. No, so people sort of talk out of, they react out of just emotion when they don't really know the full story. And that is a big problem. So, but I just wanted to mention one other thing in regard to Ari, that it has not come out yet, and it probably won't until his trial. Hopefully it will at some point, because it hasn't been reported as to whether the murderer, the terrorist, was specifically aiming, knew who Ari Fold was, and had set out particularly to kill him, or whether he just recognized him as a Jew, as an Israeli, and that's why he murdered him. So in other words, was it a random, I mean, Ari is unfortunately still dead, that is not going to bring him back, but it would just be interesting to know whether this was just a random killing of an Israeli, or whether it was a symbolic killing, because they chose him in particular because they knew that he was a very outspoken Zionist. So that will undoubtedly come out at the trial, or hopefully come out at the trial. Now, the thing that I wanted to, and I'm just going to have a moment to just to begin to bring this to your attention, but I will be talking about this in a future podcast. There, you may know, and I had some general idea, about how there are anti-Zionist students in colleges around America. And in particular, there's a report about an anti-Zionist student group at the New School in New York. And they said that this terrorist, the American who was killed by the terrorist, was, quote, was neither a victim nor a hero. Now, this is a group, basically an anti-Zionist group, groups, there are groups like this growing on college campuses all over the United States. There are 200 chapters on North American university campuses that promote the boycott, divestment, and sanctions. You may have heard of BDS, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign that is looking to isolate Israel until it abides by Palestinian demands. So in other words, it legitimizes Palestinian terrorism, and it particularly sees as a model, as more heroic, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, PFLP, which has been designated as a terrorist organization by the U.S. government, but that doesn't seem to bother these students on these campuses. And also, it's been designated as a terrorist organization by the U.S. and more than 30 other countries. And it's killed scores of Israeli citizens since it was established by the Palestinian nationalists in 1967. Since this PFLP was established. Now, something that kind of shocked me was that, I mean, I had heard actually about some of these things going, very anti-Semitic and anti-Israel things going on at UCLA. But, and you know, it's hard to sort of divide, make a distinction between anti-Zionist and anti-Semitism. But I had heard about some horrendous things, which I found hard to believe were happening at UCLA, but some horrendous anti-Semitic, anti-Israel kinds of things. But now, come to find out, not only that these student groups, these 200 students groups are growing and getting stronger and having more more protests and more violence actually on campuses around the US, but this organization is going to have its annual meeting at UCLA in November, an annual conference. And basically, when you look at what the program is for this conference, it is extremely anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, and extremely violent, you know, while sort of hiding under, I mean, it's not, it goes almost as far, it stops, sort of, just at the border between saying, take a knife and go to the settlements and attack an Israeli citizen like Ari Fold and like the Palestinian terrorist did. This is very scary. It is very scary when we fund terrorists, whether they're ISIS terrorists or Palestinian terrorists, and it is even scarier, really, when students at colleges are being stirred up by groups like these anti-Zionist groups, and to the point where they have annual meetings, and to the point where I have been on the clinical faculty at UCLA for years, and just to see that happening at essentially my school. It's my school in another way as well. I received a master's in public health there after my MD. So it's too close to home. So I'm telling you all this. I know that there are some of you listening to this who don't believe in Zionism or who believe that these settlements are on areas that don't belong to them, but I hope you will all certainly believe that nobody, including Ari Fold, should be murdered for their beliefs by terrorists. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.